contrary to popular belief, I'm not a machine, and these studies don't just come rapid fire to me. It takes me a while. So, I want to go into this man of peace in Luke chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Now, peace is at the center of what stands written in Luke 10, 5, and 6. Jesus tells the disciples to say peace to this house, but that wasn't the end of it. The greeting could become like a boomerang out of Australia if there was no man of peace therein. At least that's what the text seems to indicate. Now, I fear that this entire episode is misunderstood by a great many people today, and I have misunderstood it myself and fallen prey to some of the teaching that's out there that I don't think is possible to substantiate. And I'm concerned about that, and I would like to know what this passage says. So I've done a lot of work on it. Probably more than I should have, but I tried to be very thorough, and I tried to tell you what I've found without hopefully any real bias or anything except toward the truth. I want to know what this says, and I hope you do too. This is a passage that is a one-of-a-kind, a kind of a hapax legomena, which means said once or written once. Or it's said once, actually. One time and one time only. And this is the only place in Scripture that we find this idea of a man of peace and this greeting of peace as one is sent out by Jesus Christ. In fact, the 70 or 72... which is a little bit in dispute, the number of how many went out. I tend to lean toward 72, but that's, and there's a good reason for that, but I won't go into all that. But this is the only time that you see this in Scripture. By the way, it's not man of peace, it's not person of peace. It's literally huios irene, son of peace, which gives the idea an entirely different meaning when you say son and not man or person of peace. The ESV and the King James Version have it correct. The New American Standard does not. I don't know why they opted for man of peace, but it does say son, which, of course, is a male. And person makes it, you know, about everybody. Whereas son is, you know, the male. But there's a specific reason why it says son of peace. And that's just one of the issues. In studying this, I find myself between the proverbial rock and hard place. In one source that I looked up, and I just grabbed the first one that I could find. I didn't go cherry picking or anything like that. And I think this is representative of what the church growth movement and disciple making movement says about the person of peace. They'll quite often just stick with that person of peace thing. There is a church. Well, here's what the reference said. The man of peace is the title, and it goes on like this. There's a church planting principle about finding the person of peace, in quotation marks. It is a phrase that comes from Luke 10 when Jesus sends out the 72. At least they got the number right, huh? In Luke 10:5-6, Jesus said, "When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house." Then there is more about that passage. And it goes like this. This shows a level of spiritual receptivity. Gary Rohrmeier writes in Spiritual Conversations, that's his book apparently, "How does one discern if a person of peace is in his or her life? Here are a few things to look for. Did they receive you openly into their lives, knowing that you are a follower of Jesus? Are they open to spiritual conversations, meaning you dialogue with them about spiritual issues without them shutting down? Are they willing to look into scriptures with a curious mind and not a critical one? Do they have influence on others? Are they in a position of influence over their family, friends, and within the community? Is their home a hub of activity for the neighborhood and extended family? Do they have the ability to introduce new people into their sphere of influence effectively? Do they have the natural ability of including and bringing others to small groups, events, or worship services?" And the reference there, I can give that to you later. I don't think you'd care about that, but there's a website. Another source, the next one in the list, actually, I just put person of peace in the search engine. Another one says, and I'm going to read this to you as well, and the length of it is dependent on how I feel, I guess, when I get down to a certain part. But this is Biblical Man of Peace Approach is Key to Effective Outreach by Erich Bridges. It's not Eric, it's E-R-I-C-H Bridges. "Missionaries," here goes the article, "missionaries have unearthed a scriptural approach to evangelism that's often been ignored. Find a man of peace. When Jesus sent out the 70, he got that wrong, to preach the good news, he commanded, "When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you. Do not move around from house to house. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you." And that's the New International Version, apparently. And if he did quote that correctly, they use man rather than person or son of peace. All right, so the article goes on. "A Southern Baptist missionary in Asia discovered the power of that advice when he entered a potentially hostile, unreached village with a co-worker. 'We prayed, God, we know you're at work here, or we wouldn't be here. We need a man of peace who will take care of us until we can feel our way around this village and know if it's safe or unsafe. I started my stopwatch. We walked into the center of the village where the well was. A person approached me out of nowhere and said, 'Have you eaten?' We said, 'Not yet.' He said, 'Well, come to my home.' His name was Lee, L-I, and he was the person of peace we wanted. I stopped my watch. 3:21. Wow. How are you going to argue with that? 3:21. It doesn't always happen that way. Ask some of the others who are in the disciple-making movement and church planting movements of today. And I'll almost guarantee you, actually I've heard them say, it takes a lot longer than 3 minutes and 21 seconds. Well, here the article goes on. Lee fed them, then properly introduced them to the village's hard-faced leader, who might otherwise have ordered the strangers killed with long knives. Lee told the village leader, who was ill, that the newcomers' God is a great God, and they will pray for you. They prayed. The leader got better. He soon became a man of peace in his own right, opening his heart and the whole village to the gospel. Who is a man dash or woman dash of peace? You can identify him or her by the three R's, according to Tom Wolfe, a leading proponent of the concept who teaches at Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary. That's a Southern Baptist seminary out west in California. Goes on, the person of peace is, here are three qualifications, is receptive to the gospel, possesses a reputation to gain attention for the message among family and community, and number three, effectively refers the bearers of good news to that larger group. The article continues. The Roman centurion Cornelius was such a person. End quote. A righteous and God-fearing man, respected by all the Jewish people. Acts 10:22. Encouraged by a divine vision, he invited Peter into his home. Now you see, that's a big difference. The 72 went out to the places where Jesus was going to go. Here it is that Cornelius invited Peter into his home. That's a big difference. Warmly welcomed him and called together his family and friends to hear the apostles' words. As a result, Cornelius and his family and many others believed and were baptized. Wolf contends that Cornelius, quote, sphere of influence, his oikos, which is the Greek word for house. His oikos, as the Greek New Testament calls it, was the normal focus for the first evangelists. Michael Green, a man that I respect, author of Evangelism in the early church, agrees that the oikos, consisting of blood relations, slaves, clients, and friends, was one of the bastions of the Greco-Roman society. Christian missionaries made a deliberate point of gaining whatever households they could as lighthouses, from which the gospel could illuminate the surrounding darkness. Today, such lighthouses shine in many places. One group's region in India was long known as a graveyard for missions, and a literal grave of at least 6 Christian martyrs in recent years. Instead of giving up, a mission team trained workers to quietly enter villages, pray, and seek men of peace. If they didn't find one, they were to leave the village. If they did, they were to build relationships and share Christ with that person's natural network of family and friends. Hundreds of churches have been planted among the people in the years since. Not every, quote, friend of the gospel, unquote, becomes a believer, however. Wolf also identifies men of goodwill. A man of peace is prepared to receive the gospel and follow Christ as Lord. In contrast, a man of goodwill does not now and may not ever receive Christ. Wolf explains, but he usually is an influential person who recognizes the great value of what believers bring and becomes their protector, promoter, and pathway finder in his area of jurisdiction. I find a lot wrong with that paragraph. For example, Chief Sum Emmanuel, an important leader of the Dagari people in Africa, invited Southern Baptist missionary Lynn Kennedy into the 20 villages under his influence to share the gospel. He hasn't made a personal commitment to Christ yet, but he gathers his people to listen to one who speaks the truth. Either way, the good news spreads through the community. Psalm 37:37 promises, "Mark the blameless man and behold the upright, for the man of peace will have a posterity." I haven't looked at that psalm, but I'm wondering about it right now. The posterity may include the salvation of many peoples. Well, how do you argue with that? I mean, the pragmatist would say it works, so shut up. Don't say anything about it. Don't argue with progress. But I'm in danger, after having studied these concepts and words and principles and scriptures in Luke 10:1-6, of being in argument with the above two authors, who are either doing a good work or are promoting a good work. But in looking at the text, I've asked, does what I have heard and what I have read accurately answer the question of what's going on here in Luke 10:1-6? I asked myself, if this is such an important issue, why is it only one time presented in Scripture and not even mentioned when Jesus sent out the 12 earlier? I asked myself, if all they say, like the list above, which they use Cornelius to support, I think, in a wrong way, can you squeeze all of that out of what we see in Luke 10:5-6? Are the proponents correct in assuming that this is a lost person of peace? Where do they get the idea, which I haven't said anything about, but there is this idea that's inherent in all of this and is stated in the training that I've gone through and some other places that I've read, that there is a notion of discovery versus teaching presented here when the disciples went out to these houses and places where Jesus was going to go. Now, I don't mind being the heavy or the bad guy or the goat, and I don't mean greatest of all time by that, but I want to be careful, and you should be too, as you listen to this teaching on the person of peace. I don't know how long it will take, but hey, it's really important. If we're saying something that Scripture doesn't say, then we're in error. And I don't care what you say about that. That's a problem. Especially if you read the almost very last verses of Revelation. You don't want to add to or take away from the Scriptures. But let me reiterate before I close. The goal is not to tear down anyone or anything or any movement or anything God is blessing or not blessing, whatever the case may be. But the goal is to find out what the Scriptures teach. So I'll close with this blessing that came from Moses to Aaron, but Moses got it from God. It's Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.